Yeah, I'm really, really excited to speak to you all this morning. My heart is full. I just can't wait to share the word that God's placed on my heart with you all. I'm encouraged, and I just really, really pray this morning that we would all be encouraged as we gather together online and we just refresh and renew our minds together as we look to scripture, when we look to God's word and his truth. And today is February the 14th. I want to wish you a happy Valentine's Day. And I don't think it's coincidental that I'm speaking today on Valentine's Day, because God has placed on my heart that he wants me to talk about love today. It just seems so relevant, right, on February the 14th to talk about love. But we're not talking about the world's love. We're talking about God's unconditional, sacrificial, agape love. And that is the title of my sermon this morning, the agape love of God. And while many of us may feel loved this morning, there may be some that have woke up not feeling loved. And there is nothing like knowing our Father in heaven and knowing the love of Jesus, that sacrificial, that unconditional love, experiencing that love. Nothing can quench that love, that only Jesus's love can. And the Greeks, they had four words for love. We only have one, but they had Eros, which is sexual, sensual love. They had storge, which is family love. They had philia, which is friendship love. And then they had agape love. And agape love is God's love. God is love. And it's a sacrificial love that says you before me. It puts others first. And it doesn't come naturally to us before we are born again, and before we come on that journey with Jesus, and when we're in that sinful state. We're not born with it, we can't manufacture it. We can only experience it by drawing close to God and experiencing his love. And only through God can we show it to others. We can imitate God's love only when he lives in us. And that's when we are beginning to realize and understand what real and perfect love is. And I don't know where you are today. Maybe you're a widow, maybe you're single, maybe you just came out of a relationship, maybe you've gone through some heartbreak, maybe somebody really, really let you down. I know it's humans that we can let one another down. We can disappoint one another really badly. And Jesus knows, he sees, he cares. And if you're feeling lonely, misunderstood, hidden, forgotten, less than, unworthy, this message is for you. And I know the world tells us to find the one, but Jesus says be the one. And the world will tell us to fall in love, but God tells us to walk in love. And the world also tells us to put our hopes and our dreams and trust in someone else. And God tells us to put our hopes and our dreams and our trust in him. And I love that. I think often we look to the world, or we're distracted by the world, or we compare. We all do it. We all go on social media and we get scrolling. And today is one of those days where you might see people opening these cards and flowers, but that does not determine your worth and your value. Your worth and your value comes from God and God alone, and who he says you are. Jesus does live within us, and we ask him into our hearts and souls and come on this journey, and we experience his love, and we get to know him, and we have this relationship with him. He gives us the capacity and enables us to love like him. We take on his nature. His spirit lives in us, and we start to become more like him. And that allows us to love others like Jesus loves us, because we've encountered his love, because we've experienced it, and because of what it's one of his fruits of the spirit, it then pours on to others that we meet. And that is my prayer this morning. And I don't know about you, but I'm so aware that I'm representing God, that I'm one of his ambassadors, that we're his disciples, his hands and his feet while we walk the planet. And I want to represent him well. I'd just love for people to get a glimpse of him, and I'd love for them to encounter him every time they met me. I don't always get it right. I'm really flawed, but I'm always praying for God's character, and just to think, what would Jesus do? And just for God to just help me to become more like him. And I think it's amazing that we do become one, and God lives within us, and we really do get his spirit. And once, what was once impossible now is possible. And we are able to love our neighbours. We're even able to love our enemies. And what a better way to evangelise? What better way for the world and non-believers and people to look at us and say, you know, how do you do that? Or how do you walk with joy when you've been through that trial? How do you still have that smile on your face when you've lost your spouse? And it's because that the joy of the Lord is our strength, that because we have this massive hope, it's because Jesus lives within us, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I think sometimes we forget that that power that lives inside of us, that same power that rose Jesus from the dead, lives within me and you today. And now I want to go to the Song of Songs, and we're going to look at chapter 8, verses 6 to 8. And this is King Solomon's bride speaking. It's really beautiful. It's really powerful. And theologians would argue, is this God telling his story of his great love affair for Israel, or his great story for his love affair for the whole of human race? But I just really believe that it's God's love towards the people who love him, no matter who they are. And it really just shows his great love for us and how we ought to love him back. And it says in verse 6, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. How powerful is that? For love is as strong as death. It's jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. If one were to give all the wealth of one's house for love, it would be utterly scorned. And I just love that line. Many waters, verse 7, cannot quench love. And I was just thinking about this because the world offers us many paths, many roads. It offers us to quench what this void, this ache that we're trying to fill. And before we encounter Jesus, we've got this ache and void, and the world will tell us, you know, if you just tick off that bucket list, if you just get that success, if you just get that promotion, if you just get married, if you just have those children, then you'll feel satisfied, then you will be fulfilled. And it's just simply not true. It's just the devil's lies. The only thing that can quench this love is experiencing God's perfect, unchanging, unconditional love. And it then goes on to say rivers cannot sweep it away. And I think it's so true, because in life there is trials, there's tribulations. Even as believers, we have troubles, hardships, suffering. It happens to us all. Jesus suffered. And I really do believe that we have many assignments to walk, that Jesus allows us to walk. It refines us. It makes us who we are. It makes us not bitter but better. Jesus doesn't love us and wants us to stay where we are. He loves us so much that he has more for us, and he doesn't want to leave us where we're at. He's constantly refining us, and we're becoming more like him on this journey. And it says rivers cannot sweep it away. So all the temptations in life, all the tribulations, all the suffering, it cannot destroy God's love for me and for you. And then it says if one were to give all the wealth of one's house for love, it would be utterly scorned. So this is a love that we're looking at here that money cannot buy. And I just want to conclude now by just looking at two scriptures. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Mark. This is Mark chapter 12, verses 29 to 31, and it's the greatest commandment. Verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And I just love how Mark tells us there, and that Jesus tells us that the greatest commandments are to love God and to love people, and not only just love people, but love our neighbours as ourselves. And like we talked about before, when we're in this sinful state, before we encounter Jesus and make that commitment to him, it's actually quite impossible and doesn't come naturally to us. But when Jesus lives within us and we become one, we're able to do that. If you'd just like to turn to your Bibles, and I'm going to be reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 13. God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we were to love one another, then God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. How beautiful is that scripture from John? I love that word in verse 9, that word showed. This is how God showed his love among us. And love isn't a feeling, it's a verb, it's an action, it is doing. And God did something. God sent his one and only begotten Son for me and for you to die our death for our sins, so that he would take our place, so that we may not perish but have everlasting life. And if you're feeling unloved this morning, you just need to look to the cross. And I just think it's wonderful. It then goes on to say verse 10, not that we love God, but that he loved us. God loved us first, and he chose us first. He died on that cross for me and for you, not even knowing if we would love him back, because he gave us free will. He never forces us, he never lures us, he never sells himself. You know, God showed his love for the world and for me and you when he died, when he sent his Son to die on that cross. And there's no other love like it. I love then how it also says in verse 13, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. This is how we know that God is within us. He has given us his Spirit. And if you haven't made a commitment to Jesus and asked him into your life as Lord and Saviour, I just think what a more perfect day than today on Valentine's Day, just to give your heart to Jesus. He desperately wants to know you. He's a relational God, and he died for you, and he just absolutely loves you. And I just hope that this message blessed you and encouraged you this morning. God bless. Amen. And can't wait to see you CCF face to face soon. I'm really hopeful that it won't be too long. I can't wait to see you all. Bye. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Romans 8:38-39.